Welcome to the Migrant and Diasporic Cinema Podcasts. Here follows a recording from our conference, The Industrial Context of Migrant and Diasporic Cinema in Contemporary Europe, which was held on the 13th of January 2007 at the Institute of Germanic and Romance Studies in London. You will now hear a discussion between Gareth Jones of Scenario Films Limited and Thierry Le Nouvel of Cine Sud Promotion and the Fond d'Aide at the Amiens Film Festival. Gareth and Thierry will be talking about the role of festivals in the discovery, promotion and distribution of migrant and diasporic films. And they will also talk about Babylon, a script development initiative which they recently co-founded.
Very happy to introduce Thierry Le Nouvel, who is my French partner, my French co-producer, and my partner specifically on this project here, which we're going to talk about and use, I think, as a springboard, possibly into a debate that might bring together some of the themes that were touched on so eloquently this morning, some of the themes which this programme is designed to address, and I will come back to it. My name is Gareth Jones. I'm a filmmaker by background, started in the theatre even before that. More recently, I've set up a company called Scenario Films Limited, which produces, develops, and does various consultancy events. I'm also, incidentally, doing an extremely belated part-time PhD at Cambridge in film, so I sort of straddle, as it were, the production and the academic world, which may or may not be useful to this particular debate, but I'm thrilled actually to have been invited by Dr. Bernhard to become a part of this network, which is directly related, in fact, to preoccupations we are trying to address in Babylon. My consultancy work has taken me not just around Europe in several languages, because I'm a linguist by training, but also into other areas, of course, it is Europe, but Southeast Europe, the Balkans, where I've been at home for about 5 years as consultant to the Sarajevo Film Festival's script development program, Cinelink, and then an analogous program in Marrakesh in Morocco, which is funded by Brussels and is aimed particularly at the development of film in the eastern and southern Mediterranean seaboards. I suppose it was in the process of this film consultancy work that it struck me that a great deal of Europe's interest is exported outside its borders. A lot of its film interest is expressed in as was eloquently expressed this morning, as it were, going out and finding what is being done elsewhere, which I think is absolutely commendable and has brought in some remarkable and some very unknown films, I think, into the European consciousness, although not evenly by any means, and in fact that's one question it would be perhaps interesting to come back to. However, it struck me that overall the search for interest outside European borders was in danger of becoming a certain kind of exoticism, if you like. And that it left very open the question of what on earth happens to the heritage from these other regions which we already have inside our borders. The European Union is a remarkably diverse place, but it is also remarkable how little attention, I would say, we paid the diversity of voice available to us from our very diverse minority cultures within Europe's borders. And it was this impulse, and now to diversify a bit to the second impulse and the practical springboard for the creation of this idea, it came through a relationship with Thierry Le Nouvel that started about 5 years ago when he invited me to sit on a jury which he administers, which is run from the Amiens Film Festival, which distributes development funds to filmmakers from, broadly speaking, non-Western origins. There are four prizes that are given to filmmakers from, therefore, Latin America, Asia, certain parts of Asia, not all, by any means. This comes back to a question that was asked earlier, which I found very interesting, about to what extent we should be encouraging films from the rising markets in East Asia There are fairly clear definitions, I think, in the allocation of these subsidies, but Thierry will come back to this, about who is eligible, who is not. But this is clearly an attempt to support and to encourage filmmakers in the emerging world. Through that work with Thierry on the jury at the film festival in Amiens, we can describe the modalities in more detail. This, again, reinforced my impression of a certain European generosity towards the outside world, a curiosity. But it left me faintly uneasy about a potential disingenuousness of this interest directed to the outside world, and an increasing bewilderment about a lack of interrogation of fascinating cultural sources hidden within our European borders. And it was at this point that these diverse factors came together in my head to create this program called Babylon. The title I have to attribute to my partner, who unfortunately could not be here today, Fiona Howe, who runs Scenario Films with me. Came to her in a flash, and I said, "You must be joking, we'll never get away with it." Because obviously the mythical aspirations of the title are what the program is about. Babylon, a place of exile or welcome, as is added in the subtitle of this presentation. Which is it? You will see in the logo and the further one, which I will show you, obviously the reflective element, a deliberate play on words, I hope, the reflection implied in cinema, in film, the reflection of realities, reflection in the sense also of reflection upon oneself and one's own identity, and clearly a reference to the waters of Babylon, the waters throwing through and beneath the city. I don't have to tell anybody here that Babylon is, of course, a trope of multicultural discourse. It is available and in current usage, particularly amongst our Afro-Caribbean community, but I believe also equally so in France. It is a concept which is known, and to my great surprise and relief, amidst all the very searching questions that we have faced in the mounting of this project and the financing of it, one thing that has never been put in question was the title. So anybody here who would like to do that, you are most welcome to, because I'm quite sure we're going to have to stand up to an awful lot of, hopefully not criticism, but certainly interrogation about what we're up to. Thierry Le Nouvel is Ciné Sud Promotion. He's based in Paris. Ah, great, okay. I appear to have given away my menu, and the problem is now I'm not... I think I press on that one. Okay, thanks. Right, I gave away the menu with these terrible alliterative P's. You've probably been studying them, and I've given my game away. Sometimes it helps, actually, to get that opening letter clear in one's head, and one has the, you know, kind of the menu from there on. So anyway, now you know where I'm going, and I will proceed to repeat myself. Anyway, there's the main page. Here we are, the producers. Thierry Le Nouvel runs a company in Paris called Ciné Sud Promotion. Thierry started in promotion and distribution. He represents a number of extremely distinguished filmmakers, auteurs from all the way around the world. He also produces and co-produces their films. Latterly, he has a very distinguished list, which I think will emerge as he talks about the people that he works with. He has a proven track record in world film. He is one of the leading French, not just producers, but I would say moving spirits behind the world cinema movement. He has very dedicated friends in France who know of his serious commitment, and he is somebody who is respected in this discourse and has some important things, I think, to say. I've been immensely grateful to him for his support from the moment when, at the Cannes Film Festival this May, I arrived. I got him on his mobile and said, "Thierry, I haven't told you about this. I've got a meeting with the CNC in about 2 hours. I'm worried about what they're thinking and what I'm thinking. Can you please come along? Oh, and by the way, where are you staying tonight?" And it just turned out that he had a house booked for his members of his staff. And I said, "Well, you haven't by any chance got a mattress, have you?" So I not only cadged a co-producer, I actually cadged a mattress as well. And if you know the prices of hotels in Cannes during the film festival, you will understand why that was a vital step forward. So actually having shared a room, we spent most of this morning sharing a computer, and that we left my place this morning each carrying a computer. It just happened to be the other's computer. So if there are any gaps in the presentation, please be patient. It's because he's prepared my thing and I've prepared his. So Scenario Films Limited, that's my company, and can be found under, that's the larger logo, Babylon. Obviously, we wanted to complement the mythical biblical references with a very modern looking city. We toyed for quite some time with the North American ambiguity of this kind of skyline, but it is now so prevalent that you could even say that Europe is a Babylon of its own within a much larger international context. And one of the interesting things that have surfaced, I think, this morning is the relationship between a European diaspora and a much wider international diasporic presence. In fact, I think that this is more a note to ourselves within the network. I'm sure that better academics than I have already been working on this, but obviously the distinction in definition between migrant and diasporic is an interesting one to work on, and I'm quite sure there is an excellent distinction to be had, which we should start applying, because otherwise, of course, we're in danger of an egregious tautology. They must mean different things, or else we wouldn't use them both. I'm not going to go down that road right now, but maybe we could return to it later on, because I think it's a really valid area of... Is there a difference between a migrant experience and a diasporic experience? These are the partners who are backing the programme so far. The CNC is the Centre National de la Cinématographie in Paris, which is the body, state-financed, not just by the state, mind you, and state-run body that organizes, controls, and runs the audiovisual sector in France. And I think you can put it as boldly as that. And that does not correspond at all, for instance, to the function of our most recent sponsor, whom you will find down at the bottom right there, the UK Film Council, which has a very different kind of role within the UK film industry, and not as statutorily defined a role, and without the same kind of constitution that enables the CNC to pilot French film in such a splendid manner. That is a distinction, again, we can come back to later. The British Council needs no explanation. It exports British culture. The University of Cambridge, that is my intellectual home. CRASH is an independent research institute, the Centre for Research into the Arts, Social Sciences and Humanities, who've kindly given me a small academic development budget. Screen East, which is the regional film authority for the east of England. Not forgetting the Goethe Institute, because in fact this is a tripartite, three-national venture between the UK, France and Germany, with growing interest from other European sources, and the presence of so far three contributing film festivals, the Festival Internazionale del Film di Locarno, where we launched the programme in August, we announced it, and so far, fortunately, we've kept to our promises. It was an announcement that was well received on the whole and well run in Screen Daily, which is the electronic form of Screen International. BFM International Film Festival is the Black Filmmaker Magazine International Film Festival. BFM Magazine was founded by Menelik Shabazz, whom John Okumfor referred to this morning as being another of that generation. Menelik very kindly accompanied us to Locarno to announce the launch of Babylon. I have to say, it was a shame and embarrassment to notice that Menelik was the only black face at the whole of the film festival. That's one of the reasons why this program is there. And I'm, obviously the last thing we want to do, and you're welcome to ask us as well, why are two middle-aged white European males launching this kind of thing. Welcome to ask us all of that. It's nothing we haven't thought about already, but it was obviously great to have Menelik with us and giving us his wholehearted support. And all, at the announcement also, there were other leading European filmmakers up there with us. The Amiens Film Festival, I've already mentioned, is Thierry Lenouvel's natural home, if you like. He's been involved there for 10 years running this jury, and I think has accomplished a great deal in terms of assisting the development of international film. So, premise of this project, the experience of reaching Babylon. There is a commonality of experience. It is not identical. It may be extremely different. The quality of the welcome may be extraordinarily variable, reaching from the cordial through to the execrable. But nonetheless, the experience of an arrival, of a displacement and an arrival, is something which is by definition shared by anybody who leaves one place and arrives somewhere else. And it is that experience of arriving somewhere else, whether in a first-generation, second- or third-generation experience, that we are trying to explore. Europe as a Babylon, a metropolis of competing languages, interests, and traditions. And that has to be, I think, a fair definition of Europe. We don't have to rehearse European history to know what that competition has led to. We are in ourselves an astonishing variety, multicultural variety, even before the permanent new waves of arrivals. And let us not forget that if you're talking about a diaspora coming into Europe, well, I mean, you know, kind of the Jews were privileged by Julius Caesar, not, of course, by anybody much else since, but nonetheless. And he, of course, complicatedly enough, was the genocide of my people, the Welsh, the Celt. So history is complicated, and a new diaspora arrives every decade and has to find its way somehow into this Babylon. I find the expression double culture a useful import from French discourse, in that it is a slightly more precise approach to the multicultural question. In that very often when we are looking at filmmakers of a relevant background, what we're talking about is not multicultural, actually. I mean, you know, kind of they're not Asian, Afro-Caribbean and Maghreb all at once. They happen to be one of those, plus a certain European apartment. So there is a provenance and an arrival. All I'm trying to draw attention to is that we should be quite specific in each case about the nature of how this experience is led and experienced, and distinguish or try to distinguish what is specific from what is generic. The predicament. Okay, this is a bit of a political pitch, I suppose, but here goes. We've managed to sell it so far. I believe that European nations treat their minorities as their own. I believe there is a Besitzergreifen, a kind of unconscious and sometimes less than unconscious or more than unconscious possessiveness of national minority as a means of control. And that there is an unconscious political process that deprives access to the European political mainstream. Artistic is another question, but to the European political mainstream, to our respective national minorities. And I think that as a matter of European principle and for the development of the European Union, this is a deplorable state of affairs, and that it is something that Europe needs to address. Because I believe that this state of affairs deprives access to the European mainstream, as I said, but also to each other, between different minorities. And inevitably, given that our minorities tend, despite the fact there is movement, of course, there are now inner European diasporas of colonial minorities. I mean, of course, there are now Indian and Bangladeshi communities outside the old half of the British Empire. Yes, there is movement, but there is not a huge amount of movement. And when there is, there tends to be a leaving behind rather than a meeting, a genuine meeting. It is one diaspora upon another. And what it occurred to me was that this isolation reinforces necessarily the colonial acquis that comes with the fact of arriving in the old colonial power, and inevitably experiencing a certain repetition of the old colonial axis and the reinforcement of certain colonial axes. Not always to negative effect, I have to say. I'm trying to speak here neutrally, even though obviously there's a strong critical element in what I'm trying to address. I believe that the European Union must now take responsibility for the dialogue between different minorities in the film world. If I don't always repeat that, please understand that that is my drift. As I mentioned in the preamble, it seems to me that our commitment and our interest runs consistently to the outside of the European Union, and there appears to be a current of denial somewhere at the heart of that, because we refuse to look at our own richness, cultural richness, and the cultural debt, the talent base that we carry inside the EU that is derived directly from diasporic experiences coming from outside. And what interests us in this programme is to give a voice to the extraordinary cultural richness concealed within our European borders. Sometimes not concealed, but we'll go on. So the proposal is a programme that will provide equal access to the means of self-expression, which should enrich us all, those expressing themselves and those also receiving. Individual success does not imply equality of access. I think this is a vital point. I mean, we all are familiar with the rather coarse term tokenism, and I don't wish to descend quite to that degree, but nonetheless, we all know that across Europe there are notable successes of minority filmmakers that are held up very often by those who wish to do nothing more, and very often who actually would prefer the named person not even to be there, as proof that, oh well, there is no issue, there is nothing to discuss here. I mean, you find it in Germany very often, but Fatih Akin is a great international star. He's made it. Why can't everybody else make it? You know, Gurinder Chadha in this country is now, you know, an international bankable film directing name. Yes, but. It is precisely this wielding of the token success that very often results in the repression or suppression of the next generation coming up. And I thought that John had some very interesting things to say this morning about the flow, the generational flow of arrival and of access, and how it is an upward current and a downward current as well. Some gains in one generation can be lost in the next generation. And I believe that there is a terrible discourse prevalent in this country, particularly at the moment, which is to say, the groundwork has been done, the last generation basically accomplished it, it's now a level playing field, and all we need to do is get on with it. I do not believe that is the case. I believe that there are still major issues of exclusion in this country and across Europe generally, and I secondarily believe that the process of absorption into the mainstream very often entails the radical suppression of individual voice. And this program is designed to form a bridge between individual voice and new markets prepared to listen. So our proposal is that a forum is needed to monitor and encourage progress. There is progress, there's no doubt about it. I mean, since the riots to which Abdelkrim alluded very eloquently and absolutely correctly, there has been substantial progress attempted in France, at least over the previous year. Thierry and I had a meeting with the relevant ministry in France last week, and there is a new mood abroad, and that is one reason why this programme is afloat. it appears actually to be, for once in my life at least, you know, kind of at the right place at the right time. So Babylon should be a European forum for minority filmmakers, a space that allows them to speak to each other and specifically to the widest international audience. Purpose. If this seems a bit scheinheilig, a little bit too good to be true, I will leave you to read, because in a sense it is a list of good intentions and I fully acknowledge that. So since everybody in this audience is a speed reader, I'm not even going to do it for you. Please go through it yourself. Well, richness of cultural experience. Most important, we're not talking about problems here. I refuse a discourse of our ethnic minorities that starts from the word problem. We are lucky enough to be in possession of remarkable cultural richness. And I refuse to start from a negative defensive position. This is a positive state of affairs. Until now, we have not had the imagination to tackle it properly. There, you see, tackle. Already I'm slipping into the negative. The immense dangers, despite everything, of assuming that there is something here that needs to be apologized for. There is nothing to be apologized for except our own complacency, ignorance or indifference. To open a debate at a time of increasing denial, well, I don't know what anybody else feels, but for me, since the attacks on London, specifically, but more generally, probably since 9/11, I believe that the debate is being closed down. That a certain multicultural trend that was looking reasonably healthy around the 1980s and early 1990s has actually been massively breaked. And if it seems paradoxical, because I've just said that we appear to be afloat with this program, firstly, I have to say that the challenge that we have had to throw to bureaucratic inertia in the process of getting there has been pretty stupendous. And secondly, that there is we are in danger of seeing a discourse of diversity designed to prevent it. I think that the word diversity, multicultural, must not be used as a placebo. It must not be used as a pretense or a camouflage. It must not be used, as we've all become accustomed to, I fear, over the last 10 years of this administration, to basically good intentions stated as accomplishments that have already been achieved. We must remember that this is a goal, but a goal that actually has a long way to go still, and that actually has to be mechanized and that has to be fulfilled. So to try and encourage a more open response in the mainstream, to create a bridge between different minorities, open minorities, the mainstream, and vice versa, to accelerate the European cultural motor through its minorities. Now, that's an important last point, I think, because God knows the European cultural motor sort of stutters and comes to a complete halt occasionally, in that, you know, European cultural mainstream exchange has enough problems just in overcoming linguistic barriers, historical barriers, the kind of xenophobias that we suffer from, certainly in this country, with regards to Europe, before we even start to think about multiculturalism in the more modern sense. And I believe, in fact, that paradoxically, it is through our national minorities speaking to each other that the larger European cultural motor can be restarted. Our programme. Conferences, networking opportunities between professionals, screenplay development workshops, training initiatives, film festival events, canvassing of national authorities, press opportunities. That's a pretty broad agenda, of which we have made a start actually on most already. So basically, our progress, this is what we've been up to. This summer, we were consolidating the London and Paris bases. We were exploring the recruitment of other national partners. And in Locarno, as I said, we announced the launch of the first Babylon event, which will combine a project development workshop with a network building forum, special screening and discussion events, and a conference. This is what we've been up to through the autumn and the winter. We launched the programme at the BFM International Film Festival in London. We published a Europe-wide appel d'offres, a call for submissions for our first workshop event. We established a website, containing the guidelines and the electronic application process, announced the workshop and first project assessment at the Amiens Film Festival this year, deadline for projects 15th of December, which was met. We've had an impressive list of submissions for a first pilot edition of any programme, I think. We've assessed the projects, and we are announcing the first workshop participants as I speak. In fact, I will probably reveal who they are at the end of this presentation. January 2007 will be our inaugural Babylon event to coincide with the Rotterdam Film Festival in loose partnership with Cinemart, which you probably know is a co-production forum designed to facilitate film finance. Between the 28th and 31st of January 2007, we will have a three-day project development workshop with writers and producers present, incorporating also a networking forum. This is being hosted by the Goethe Institute in Rotterdam, about 200 yards away from the Dullen, which is where the film festival takes place. Now, the participants. J'annonce, en fait. Je fais l'annonce maintenant.
You can do it.
Right. Okay. The participants already know, but this is the list of those who will be there. Shanghai Belleville from France, Xiaochun Li is the writer, and Juliette Grandmont of Carivari Film is the producer. Corps Étranger by Raja Amari, Dora Bouchoucha of Nomadis Images, that's a French-Tunisian project, Dora is the producer. Hémorragie by Jeanne Aslan and Lila Graffin, Les Films Sauvages, is what very loosely you might call a French-Turkish project. L'impossible testament de Gilani Saadi, who has a film being shown at the film festival. C'est quoi, le tendresse du loup? Le tendresse du loup, the tenderness of the wolf. And from the UK, Lowerarchy by Victoria Hayford, who is Luton-based and represented by Fluid Films. Black Market by Anthony Allain, with Rachel McClelland as his producer. Battle Without Banners by Faisal A. Qureshi, also from the UK. And from Germany, we have Zulbia Gunnar, whose last film was Karamuk, and who brings her new treatment, Altenhof, and whose producer is Colonia Media. And Aisha Polat, who you will probably know from her film En Garde, which was shown at the last networking conference, and which Aisha was there to present. She is coming with her new project, Lux Glück. So those are the nine projects we have so far taken. It is not impossible, I suppose, that one or two might drop out for whatever reason. We have others to replace, but this is the initial accepted list. Follow-up, there will be online mentoring and project follow-up to ensure that the 3 days actually lead somewhere. We intend to establish permanent liaison offices. We will have a presence at ongoing major European film events. We're looking particularly at Berlin, Cannes, Locarno, San Sebastian, and we will continue in Amiens. And the exploration of creative issues at a Cambridge conference planned later in 2007, we hope, with the support of CRASH. There is an application for conference support at CRASH going in by the end of next month. That is our web address. You can find out more about the program there, www.babylon-film.eu. And I will conclude by returning there and pass the word to my colleague, whom I will endeavor to interpret for.
Pas de questions, maintenant?
Any immediate questions?
Après?
Non, 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 tu vas-y, parce que moi je.
Bon.
Moi, je suis devenu trop bavard.
Je peux parler en français, excusez-moi, mon anglais. My English is not enough fluent. And
Thierry's English is perfectly good, he just wants to make it work.
Donc, Gareth ayant déjà présenté Babylone, moi je vais juste expliquer dans un premier temps pourquoi je suis arrivé sur ce projet avec lui et peut-être un petit peu parler de mon itinéraire dans ce métier qui est le mien aujourd'hui, qui est celui de...
Thierry is saying that since I've presented already the project, he's going to explain how he came to it and his trajectory so far that led him into this project.
Donc mon métier qui est aujourd'hui celui de produire des films, mais aussi de les promouvoir à travers une activité dans l'action culturelle que j'ai gardée, le Festival d'Amiens.
Promotion, production, but also a certain cultural involvement that led him to the film festival in Amiens.
Moi, j'ai démarré dans ce métier, dans l'action culturelle, à l'époque à Montpellier, où j'ai créé un festival qui est spécialisé sur les cinématographies de la Méditerranée.
Thierry started in this business as a cultural enterprise involved with the Montpellier Film Festival. Tu as dit quoi? Montpellier.
Montpellier.
Oui.
Qui était spécialisé sur les Méditerranée.
Which is specialized on Mediterranean film.
Et dans le même temps, c'était dans les années 80, j'étais aussi, d'un autre côté, distributeur.
And at the same time, during the 1980s, he was distributing.
J'étais associé à une maison de distribution RAEC.
He was associated with the distribution house RAEC.
Qui distribuait donc des films d'auteurs.
Which distributed auteur films.
Et c'est comme ça qu'avec ces deux casquettes, organisateur de festivals et distributeur un petit peu plus commercial.
And so with these two hats, a distributor and film festival organizer.
J'ai bien pu voir pendant quelques années les problèmes de diffusion que certains films du Sud pouvaient avoir sur le marché.
He was able to assess the various problems that films from the South might encounter on the French market.
Et ça, je pense que cette problématique qu'on avait à l'époque pour distribuer ces films-là sur le marché concerne aussi beaucoup de ce qu'on appelle le cinéma d'auteur aujourd'hui, d'une manière générale.
And those problems now have recently extended actually into auteur film in general.
Et au premier rang desquels, bien sûr, on trouve les films issus des minorités culturelles, dont parlait Gareth un instant.
Yeah, and in the very van of those particular list of problems, obviously films from a minority background are the least well off.
Pendant toutes ces années 80, en France, il y a eu une véritable explosion des festivals.
Yeah, in the 80s, there was a real explosion of film festivals in France.
Qui a continué pendant les années 90. Et je pense que c'est un phénomène qui a gagné toute l'Europe.
And indeed, the film festival phenomenon has now taken over throughout Europe.
Alors, quand on tente de répondre à cette question, pourquoi ça s'est passé à ce moment-là, je pense que c'est un phénomène assez simple. Au lendemain de la guerre, au moment de la libération, les seuls espaces de découverte des cinématographies du monde, c'était les ciné-clubs.
Okay, in the aftermath of the war, the only place where cinema really could be discovered was in the cinema clubs locally.
Il y avait très peu de festivals. Il y avait que des grands festivals comme Cannes, Berlin, Venise, qui servaient surtout des intérêts culturels nationaux.
There were the big ones, Venice, Berlin and Cannes, which served national cultural interests.
Grosses vitrines, people, yeah. Les acteurs, un petit peu d'ouverture sur des pays un peu lointains.
Showcase for actors, big vehicles for large stars.
Donc les ciné-clubs ont fait ce travail pendant longtemps. Et dans les années 60, devant le succès de ces initiatives, devant le public qui était très présent, est né en France, et je ne sais pas comment ça s'appelle dans les autres pays d'Europe, mais en France ça s'appelait le mouvement Art et Essai.
So,
Art House Film.
Yeah, okay, so Thierry's pointing out that as a consequence and through the availability and the interest of audiences, the Art House phenomenon was born in the 60s.
Et là, on va dire, dans les années 70, qui est vraiment l'âge d'or de ce cinéma RAEC, on pouvait voir, en particulier en France, des films du monde entier.
And so, from the 1970s, France particularly was privileged public for films from around the world.
Et là, c'était vraiment une période formidable pour tous les films qui pouvaient se lancer sur le marché. On ne va pas dire que tout le monde avait sa chance, mais beaucoup avaient leur chance.
It was a great period for films at that particular time. A lot of opportunities were created.
Ça a tellement bien marché que ces salles à RAEC ont été récupérées juste au moment où il y avait la révolution des multiplexes, où les grandes salles se morcelaient en petites salles. Et les grands groupes ont récupéré d'une certaine manière au niveau de l'exploitation tous ces lieux où il y avait des vrais publics cinéphiles qui s'étaient donc créés.
It was so successful, in fact, this movement in the creation of a market, that this market was recuperated, of course, in the situationist sense, by the multiplex movement, who simply took over the audiences that had been created.
Et petit à petit, donc en parallèle, les festivals se créaient parce que ça devenait les seuls endroits où en fait se faisaient des découvertes, des rencontres avec des gens qui n'avaient pas accès déjà au circuit commercial. Donc c'est pour ça que les festivals sont devenus aussi nombreux et aussi importants pour tous ceux qui n'avaient pas la chance d'être distribués d'une manière naturelle.
So Thierry is saying that the film festival circuit became almost a kind of refuge for a talent excluded from this kind of mainstream.
Alors, il y a eu un effet pervers qui s'est créé, car tout ce milieu parallèle représenté par les festivals ne représentait pas un vrai ressort économique pour les films.
It had a paradoxical and partly perverse effect in that the film festival circuit could not actually commercially sustain the interest that it attracted.
Et malgré tout, il y avait des films qui continuaient de se faire. Et donc, dans les années 90, des festivals responsables devant ce phénomène ont commencé à se poser la question, comme pour paraphraser Godard, il y a ceux qui se servent du cinéma et puis il y a ceux qui ont voulu servir le cinéma.
Right. Okay. So during the 90s, the directors of various film festivals started to ask themselves questions about the future. And to paraphrase Godard, there are some who serve cinema and some who would like to serve cinema. C'est ça?
Il y a ceux qui se servent et ceux qui servent.
Ceux qui se servent, ou use, parce qu'il y a un jeu de mots, tu vois.
Oui, mais je ne sais pas le traduire.
Il y a un jeu de mots sur servir.
Bien sûr.
To make use of, yeah, there are some who use it, there are some who serve and some who make use of it. It's a play on words between servir, serve, and to use, basically.
Tu comprends pourquoi je ne veux pas parler en anglais?
Moi non plus.
Donc. Et donc, dans les années 90, des festivals, au premier rang desquels le festival de Rotterdam, par exemple, a décidé de créer, donc très en amont de l'histoire des films, un atelier de projet. Atelier de projet où on réunissait des projets qui essayaient de se monter du monde entier. Voilà qui est le fonds qu'on a créé en France pour les cinématographies étrangères, parce qu'il vit en France. Donc comment fait-il?
He's not eligible for that fund because he lives in France. So there is a catch 22, there are two stools as it were between which this particular filmmaker mightily falls because he's not eligible for any support.
Donc, fort de cette anecdote et de l'expérience d'Amiens, où on a créé, comme je le disais tout à l'heure, après Rotterdam, un fonds d'aide au scénario il y a combien de temps ?
10 ans.
10 ans, 11 ans cette année.
So, 11 years ago, from the Amiens base, they created this script development fund.
Où on a créé une section réservée aux projets français.
Oh, there's one section, one prize of the four, which is reserved to projects emanating from inside France.
À condition que leur thématique soit liée aux conséquences directes ou indirectes de l'immigration.
As long as the theme of the film is linked in some way to the migratory experience in France.
Parce qu'Amiens, il faut le dire, est un festival dès le début, qui est un festival antiraciste et défenseur des minorités nationales.
Amiens, since its creation, I think 50 years ago, has had an extremely sound...
20 years ago.
20 years ago.
Oh. Amiens, oui.
Amiens, c'est vrai?
Oui. Le fondé de scénario a 11 ans, mais le festival a plus de 20 ans.
Mais plus de 20
ans. 1980. 25 ans.
Okay, 25 years. Since its inception, anyway, Amiens has had a very fine... On se parle pas. Has had a very fine record of multicultural anti-racist commitment.
Et comme Gareth faisait partie du jury de ce fonds d'aide, comme il le disait tout à l'heure, voilà comment, si vous voulez, fort de cette expérience, j'ai eu envie, évidemment, quand Gareth m'a parlé de son projet Babylone, j'ai forcément eu envie d'y participer, parce que je pense que ça répond à une problématique urgente où, d'un côté, certes, il y en aura toujours, et il y en a toujours eu, des cinéastes qui ont du mal à monter leurs films, mais surtout, vis-à-vis des minorités culturelles qui deviennent de plus en plus importantes, il y a certains problèmes techniques. Donc je pense qu'au moins, l'une des vertus de Babylone, par une mise en réseau des différentes minorités culturelles et des différents problèmes qu'il y a partout en Europe, je pense qu'on peut essayer, à travers cette... jeter des ponts, tu disais tout à l'heure.
Non, absolument.
Je pense qu'on peut arriver à peut-être fédérer et faire des choses. Voilà.
Thierry is basically saying that the creation of the Babylon network should facilitate the confrontation of technical problems like the one he just illustrated, and also attempt to advance the minority and multicultural debate inside Europe along a common front. In other words, as a form of solidarity.
Parce que sinon, je pense que si on fait rien, de toute façon, il se passera rien.
So if nothing gets done, nothing will happen.
Donc je ne sais pas si on arrivera à faire quelque chose, mais en tout cas, on va essayer.
He doesn't know if anything will happen, but we're doing our best.
Et moi, je voudrais juste un petit peu poser des questions. Ce n'est pas résolu, mais par exemple, quand Indigène de Rachid Bouchareb se fait, c'est un film à 100% français. Mais quand il est à Cannes, il représente l'Algérie.
Ah.
Et quand il est aux Oscars, il représente l'Algérie.
I think this is a very very important point. When Rachid Bouchareb's film Indigène, which was 100% French as a film, and which treats, for those who actually don't know it, of the abuse of French colonial troops in the First World War.
Bon, il y a des aides marocaines et il n'y a pas beaucoup d'Algérie.
But it's almost 100% French finance. When he turns up in Cannes, he is actually treated as an Algerian filmmaker.
Il n'y a pas zéro argent algérien.
There's no input at all in this particular film from Algeria. He's based in France. It's a French film. And yet he's treated for all intents and purposes being an Algerian filmmaker. This draws attention to the fact, obviously, that, and this is possibly a clue to the distinction between diasporic and migratory, I really don't know, but there is a very different approach to the entire concept of double cultures throughout Europe, very different historical experiences, very different questions of identity and self-experience involved, and the notion of Britishness, indivisible Britishness expressed through various cultural heritages is not actually shared in France. The entire debate takes a slightly different form.
It's on my translation.
Yeah, sorry.
Non, mais ce que je voulais dire, quand je fais cas de cet exemple, je ne le critique pas.
This isn't a criticism.
Et ce que je veux dire par là, c'est que souvent, des cinéastes comme Baloul aussi, qui vit en France, qui est un cinéaste algérien qui vit en France, ou un cinéaste... Oui, il y a aussi des cinéastes français d'origine algérienne, donc il y a les deux.
You will have gathered the question there, talking to Abdelkrim Baloul. Question, would he call himself an Algerian filmmaker living in France or a French filmmaker of Algerian origin? It's a tricky one.
Et c'est une question que je pose. Quand ils font des films, il est plus facile pour eux d'être sélectionnés dans les festivals sous étiquette algérienne.
So when they make films and submit them for film festival, it's easier for them to be accepted, particularly say as an Algerian filmmaker,
que sous étiquette film français.
Than under the French film label.
Donc je n'ai pas la solution, mais je pose une question et je pense que c'est extrêmement symptomatique de quelque chose.
Je peux te donner une réponse à ce que tu dis.
Oui. Donc, vas-y.
Par rapport à pourquoi le film de Bouchareb, il passe à Cannes comme film algérien.
Abdelkrim is giving the reason why a film by Bouchareb goes to Cannes as an Algerian film.
Je pense que la France, elle a voulu garder 3 ou 4 films français.
France wanted to keep for itself three or four French films. Okay, so that had Indigène qualified as a French film or been submitted as a French film, one other French film would have fallen by the wayside because Indigène was the best one on offer. Okay, so Boucharab had important vested interest behind him nonetheless, and so they said, but we'll keep it as an Algerian film. That is an available explanation. It's a possible. Okay, it's probably the real reason.
Donc voilà, j'en ai terminé. C'était juste apporter ma pierre, enfin mon point de vue, et dire qu'aujourd'hui, de toute façon, ça me semble bien évident, les festivals, il faut les protéger, parce qu'ils restent ces seuls espaces de liberté où, je crois, il est encore possible que tout le monde puisse s'exprimer.
Ok, so Thierry thinks that it's vital to keep and sustain the film festival circuit because it is one forum in which filmmakers can express themselves freely and without absolute overwhelming commercial constraints.
Et en tant que producteur aujourd'hui, à chaque fois que je produis un film, de toute façon, qui est toujours dans ce que j'ai toujours voulu faire, c'est-à-dire des films qui me touchent et que j'ai envie de monter, ce réseau des festivals est indispensable.
Right, for the kind of films that Thierry makes, which are films that touch him personally, and in whose authenticity he believes, the film festival circuit is an absolute indispensable tool for him as a producer to get these films made.
C'est là qu'on peut trouver la presse, c'est là qu'on peut trouver une distribution peut-être. En tout cas, c'est là où on peut faire parler de nos films.
It leads to press, distribution.
Parce qu'en dehors de ça...
Outside it's increasingly difficult actually to grab anybody's attention. These film festivals are now the way that film initiatives get launched. Because outside that circuit, there is remarkably little reliable public for the entire issue.
Si les deux derniers films que j'ai produits, Molade de Semben Ousmane, Sénégal.
Molade by Semben Ousmane from Senegal.
Et Wall, le long métrage documentaire de Simone Biton.
Wall, the documentary long métrage by Simone Biton.
N'avaient pas été sélectionnés au départ à Cannes et ensuite dans d'autres festivals.
If they hadn't been selected in Cannes and then in other festivals.
Et remarqués par la presse.
And noticed in the press.
Ces films n'auraient jamais existé sur le marché comme il faut, quoi.
Yeah, they would not have reached the market as they should have, and as they did.
Voilà. Modeste contribution à vos réflexions. Maintenant, s'il y a des questions.
Slightly losing track of time, so if anybody wants to close us down, please do. But I mean, if there are questions, we're very happy to. Are we okay? Really? Because I thought maybe this would be the moment to try and encourage a bigger. Debate, maybe. Who's going to start?
Il n'y a pas de questions. Qu'est-ce qui se passe?
Oui, on attend les questions.
D'accord, ok.
Ça couve. Yes, please. It's also open to a documentary, yes, the full-length documentary. We did not actually have any documentary submissions, which is quite interesting. No, we would have been happy to take feature documentary, yes.
Wow, feature documentary.
Networks already with the available documentary networks?
Our annonce, as it were, our appel d'offre was pretty widely circulated, and we did get a good response. But I will be perfectly frank with you, it was not exhaustive because we've been working very fast. We wanted, above all, not to hang about. We wanted to show that this is real and it can happen. We wanted to demonstrate that we've raised the funds and that we do mean business. And the application level was very convincing. We were very happy with it. It's sort of a mixture between people who are just moving on to their second film. And classically, a second film is even more difficult than a first film, because at least if you're offering a first film, you have the benefit of novelty on your side. There is a presumption of talent and success. There is, kind of a certain sales potential, while with a second film, you are dogged either by your success or by your lack of it. And all kinds of considerations enter in, such as if you had a very good press and been noticed, then you may not be able to make your second film as cheaply because everybody will expect you to pay more. I mean, so, you know, it's complicated. And both our Turkish filmmakers are on their second or second and a half film, German-Turkish filmmakers. And likewise, actually, a couple of the French selected candidates. But there are also a sort of a handful who have made a short film, written a very good script, or come with a very urgent, provocative treatment. So there is a variety of levels of experience there, but it's...
Just one thing, I asked this because I looked a little bit at your website yesterday, and I was left with the impression that it was, you were only interested in fiction films, so I was thinking that maybe somebody else was tricked into this.
Thank you.
I didn't spend too much time, but I looked at the info, okay. And I had the feeling that it's only fiction.
Did you have a documentary film to submit? Sure. I'm sorry. We'll try and rectify that. Yeah.
Interesting that the films selected in Hamlet, thinking about the French film.
Yes.
There's a very interesting the Chinese and the Turkish.
Yes.
But what about the? Did you not have proposals from the French Maghrebi?
Two, which we've taken. Gilani Saadi is
from Tunisia.
Is from Tunisia.
Well,
this is the entire
origin
question.
Is Tunisian, and his president film was Tunisian, La Tendresse du Loup, shot in Tunisia, but the next one will be shot in France.
Okay.
But he's Tunisian, he's
so
living
he
in France.
Tunisian,
yes, yes. He's Tunisian and he's living in France.
The
resident.
The entire question of identity is constructed differently.
No,
I know, Carrie, but you're quite right to draw attention to it. I mean, Raja Amari made a wonderful film called Satin Rouge, Red Satin. It's set in Tunisia.
Which
it's a bit awkward. Do you actually ask people for their passport? It's actually complicated. I mean, Dora Bouchoucha, her producer, has double nationality, French and Tunisian, and is sort of equally at home in both worlds.
Which is living in Tunisia, Dora?
Well, she lives in Carthage, yes, I know, but I mean, you know, she's pretty much at home everywhere. I mean, how do you...
I think it's the growing up in France. It's the second generation issue, is the diasporic film.
Yeah, I mean... I think that's a very interesting point, and funnily enough, it's the French-Turkish film that draws closest attention, actually, to that very issue, and I think very poignantly. I don't want to give too much away, but basically, it's about a late family arrival who has been left behind and arrived 10 years later, and the changes that have taken place in his own family, that. You know, kind of reinforce, as it were, the cruelty of his abandonment and the difficulties of catching up, which is a wonderful optic on the entire arrival experience. And I mean, I would have taken the script just... I mean, also, for that, it's excellently written. And I happen to know Jeanne Asselin's short film, which she shot in France. But she's French, you see. She's French, mm-hmm. Turkish origin. It's very hard to know quite how to define the... You know, kind of the legal status of the kind of person we might be looking at. And I think on the one hand, one must not exclude somebody who exists between two worlds. Neither, actually, must you exclude those who are maybe trapped, actually, in one world. And, you know, kind of we have at least one British participant who I happen to know is most definitely trapped in a creative situation which is in danger of becoming an extremely fast, rapid downhill spiral for her. Unless somebody gives her a helping hand and says, you've got talent, we know where you've come from, you're writing about where you've come from, nobody is going to be interested. But somebody's got to help you and make them interested, but you've got to do it better. I mean, you know, the programme is that for that as well. But, I mean, you can't actually have an entire atelier made up of people who need rescuing, you know.
I have
question regarding kind of the festival circuit as a way into, selling a film to distributors. I mean, we've heard earlier on that even major festivals like the London Film Festival, major festivals, there's much more presence of world cinema and I suppose diasporic cinema as well. But to what extent get the films that we're looking at actually get picked up for distribution? Is there a trend that you can observe that this is a kind of important sales platform
Daniela demande si les festivals sont une plateforme suffisante pour la distribution, c'est ça?
Ou s'il y a une perspective de distribution sur les films auxquels on s'adresse ici, s'il y a une perspective de distribution par le fait non seulement du programme Babylone, mais aussi par le fait d'être développé, d'être regardé. Est-ce qu'il y a un futur pour cette espèce de film, totalement dit?
Oui, ce que je disais tout à l'heure, c'est qu'il y a des publics, mais on va dire le public du cinéma d'auteur en général, mais qui se rétrécit de plus en plus. C'est le cas en France, mais je pense que ça risque d'être le cas dans d'autres pays européens. Donc jusqu'à aujourd'hui, il reste des niches, comme on dit, de publics où il est possible de promouvoir certains films qui peuvent trouver justement ce public. Mais il y en a qui ne le trouvent pas du tout.
Thierry is just saying again that this sudden, apparent, we hope temporary collapse in the distribution of or the receipts from auteur film.
Et bien sûr, les festivals ont un rôle très important.
And the festivals have a very important role in sustaining auteur film, we hope, through this rather gloomy patch. But Thierry drew attention in Paris earlier this week to a very interesting paradox, which is that the rise of, il faut que tu me corriges en fait, que l'essor du film américain...
pour le compte de soutien.
Oui, pour le compte de soutien.
Oui, mais ça, Non, c'est juste une anecdote. Je disais à Gareth, comme le cinéma français a bien marché en 2006... 45% de part de marché, tout le monde en France gargarise de ce succès.
So French cinema worked well in 2006, 45% of the market.
Mais ce succès qui est fait par 7 films à peu près uniquement, qui ont pris toutes les entrées.
So huge success by a very small number of films.
Et les autres.
And the others completely fell by the wayside.
Et là, il y a un effet pervers sur ce qu'on appelle notre compte de soutien.
Okay, there's a perverse effect.
En France,
positive effect on what is known as the compte de soutien, which is run by the CNC and basically supports French films.
J'explique. C'est notre système mis au point depuis très longtemps, qu'on nous envie beaucoup. Sur chaque ticket,
on
prend une taxe qui constitue le compte de soutien.
Which then goes to become this support.
Ce compte de soutien finance notre autorité. Qui est le CNC,
and the support fund finances the CNC,
qui ne dépend pas des politiques,
independent politically.
Les politiques changent, mais CNC
reste. Change, but the CNC has its own constitution.
Et c'est de là, de ce compte de soutien aussi,
fund,
que sont prises toutes les aides à l'exploitation, à la
distribution,
à la production.
And production comes
l'avance sur recette, par exemple.
The avance sur recette, which is a French system whereby a producer can claim an advance on future receipts for the next film.
Eventual future benefits.
Absolutely. Eventual future income from films still to be made, assessed on the basis of that producer's previous film. So it is a kind of rolling system of subsidy. Absolutely transparent, reliable, automatic, guaranteed. And where the French film industry differs totally from ours, because anybody will tell you that the UK Film Council has almost no constitution. It has very little reliability or transparency. It operates basically on a principle of assessment of individuals by certain individual groups, but in fact the system of accountability is not always scrutable, shall we say. I mean, it tends to work on a classically Anglo-Saxon system of precedence, which alas, very easily descends into favoritism or more or worse. I mean, while the French system may be top-heavy, may be bureaucratic, it may be expensive, and it may involve raising taxes on cinema seats, but it nonetheless does sustain a very large industry compared to ours, or at least it sustains French film. We have a large industry, but the question is, do we make British films?
Et donc, ce que je voulais expliquer par rapport à ce compte de soutien, c'est que chacun, exploitant, distributeur, producteur, constitue sur les films qu'il produit, par exemple, une petite partie, il a droit à ce compte de soutien pour investir dans un prochain film. Donc, un film qui va faire 1 million d'entrées va générer plus de comptes de soutien qu'un film qui en fait 100 000.
Right. Okay, so a film absolutely. So a film that has done well will obviously raise more money for these support funds than a film that has done badly.
Et donc, comme cette année, le cinéma français a fait beaucoup d'entrées, mais des gros films surtout, le compte de soutien qu'ils vont investir sur leur prochain film va être énorme. Donc, ce qu'il va rester pour les aides sélectives pour le cinéma d'auteur en général vont être réduites. Ben oui, c'est un effet inversement proportionnel. Donc, pour nous, cinéma d'auteur, on a plus intérêt à ce que le cinéma américain marche mieux que le cinéma français, parce que ça fait plus de fonds disponibles pour les aides sélectives.
Right. I mean, this is a sort of classic double bind, a paradox of this situation, that the success of a few commercial French films actually reduces the amount of money available for the auteur film. I think on that very Gallic irony, we're probably going to close, I think, and actually have some tea.